The causes, ways, and means of understanding the mind of God, as revealed in His Word, with assurance therein, and a declaration of the perspicuity of the Scriptures with the external means of the interpretation of them. John Owen. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Psalm 119, verse 18. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Verse 144. London, 1678. The presumptuous claim of the Roman Church to the infallible interpretation of the Word is denied, and a right of private judgment in the interpretation of it is asserted. The question considered is declared to relate to the method by which we attain to a right perception of the mind of God in Scripture. This method is always twofold. One, through a principal efficient cause, and two, auxiliary means, internal and external, appointed of God. The Preface. I shall in a few words give the reader an account of the occasion and design of the small ensuing discourse. Some while since I published a treatise about the reason of faith, or the grounds in which we believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God, with that faith which is our duty and pre-required to all the other acceptable obedience. But although this be the first fundamental principle of supernatural religion, yet it is not sufficient to any of the ends of it that we believe the Scripture to be divine revelation unless we understand the mind and will of God in it revealed, at least the knowledge and understanding of those things in which our present duty and future state of blessedness or misery are immediately concerned, are no less indispensably necessary to us than is the belief of the Scripture to be the Word of God. To declare the ways and means in which we may assuredly attain that understanding is the design of this discourse, as those in which we come infallibly to believe the Scripture with faith divine and supernatural are the subject of the former. My principal scope in both has been to manifest that such is the abundant goodness, wisdom, and grace of God in granting to us the inestimable benefit of His Word, that no persons whatever shall or can come short of the advantage intended by it, but through their own sinful negligence and ingratitude, the highest crimes and things of a spiritual and eternal concern. For He has given such convincing evidences of the procedure or emanation of the Scripture from Himself, by the divine inspiration of the penman of it, and so plainly declared His mind and will in it, as to the faith and obedience which He requires of any or all sorts of persons in their various circumstances, that everyone who takes care of his own present and eternal welfare may and shall, in a due use of the means by Him appointed, and discharge of the duties by Him prescribed to that end, with a due dependence on the aid and assistance which He will not withhold from any who diligently seek Him, infallibly attain such measure of the knowledge of His mind and will, with full assurance in it, as will be sufficient to guide him to eternal blessedness. The same measure of divine knowledge is not required in all and every one, that they may live to God and come to the enjoyment of Him. The dispensation of God towards mankind in nature, providence, and grace is an invincible spring of such variety among them as will not allow a prescription of the same measures of knowledge to all who have consistency with divine wisdom and goodness, and a supposition of it would bring confusion into all the order of things and persons which is of divine constitution. Nor is it pretended that any one man may or can have, in the use of means whatever, a full comprehension of all divine revelations in this life, nor perhaps of any one of them, or that all men in the use of the same means prescribed to them shall have the same conceptions of all things revealed. The Scripture was given for the use of the whole church, and that in all ages, states, and conditions, with respect to that inconceivable variety of circumstances which all sorts of causes do distribute the whole multitude of them to. Therefore, the wisdom of God in this has suited itself to the instruction of every individual believer to the moment of his entrance into eternity, that any one of them, that any society of them should have a perfect comprehension of the entire revelation of God, or a perfect understanding of the whole Scripture and every part of it, with all that is contained in it, was never required of them in a way of duty, nor ever designed to them in a way of privilege, for besides that He has replenished it with unfathomable stores, unsearchable treasures of divine mysteries in which we cannot find out the Almighty to perfection, and has provided another stay for the comprehension of that by sight, which is the object of adoration and admiration, and believe in such knowledge, is not necessary to any that they may lead the life of faith, and discharge the duties of it in all holy obedience to God. Yea, such a knowledge and comprehension would be inconsistent with that state and condition in which we are to walk with God, according to the tenor of the covenant of grace, and during the continuance of it. But the substance of what we plead for is that such is the wisdom, goodness, and love of God towards mankind, and a grant that he has made to them, of the revelation of himself, his mind and will in the Scripture, is that no one person does or can fail of attaining all that understanding in it and of it, which is any way needful for his guidance to live to God in the circumstances and relations, so as to come to the blessed enjoyment of him. But by the sinful neglect of the means and duties prescribed by him for the attainment of that understanding, and a lack of a due dependence on those spiritual aids and assistances which he has prepared for that end, by what ways and means he has thus provided for the assurance and security of all men and things of their eternal concern, and what are those acts of his wisdom, power, and grace which he exerts for that end, namely, that they may both believe the Scriptures to be his word and understand his mind revealed in them, both according to what is required of them in a way of duty, so as in both they may be accepted with him, is the design of this and the other forementioned discourse to declare. And they are both of them principally intended for the use of the ordinary sort of Christians who know it their concern to be established in the truth of those things in which they have been instructed. For they are frequently attacked with these questions: how do you know the Scriptures to be the Word of God? What assurance have you that you understand anything contained in them, seeing all sorts of persons are divided about their sense and meaning? Nor do you pretend to any immediate inspiration to give you assurance. And if, on these ensnaring inquiries, they are cast under any doubts or perplexities in their minds, as it often falls out amongst them who have not diligently weighed the principles of their own profession, the next insinuation is that they ought to betake themselves either to some other present guide as their own light and reason, or make a complete resignation of themselves and the conduct of their souls to the pretended authority and guidance of other men. To give assurance and security to their minds that they neither are nor can be deceived in the belief of the Scriptures to be the Word of God, and as to the understanding of his mind and will in them, so far as their present obedience and eternal happiness are concerned, and that to this end they need not be beholding to any, nor depend on any but God himself, and the use of known and obvious means or duties, is designed in these small treatises. And upon the principles evidenced and confirmed in them, I have yet proposed a further inquiry, namely, what conduct, in these times of great contest about the assurance of faith, and the causes of it, everyone that takes care of his own salvation ought to betake himself to, that he may not be deceived nor miscarry in the end. And this is designed with especial respect to the Church of Rome, which vehemently pretends to the sole infallible conduct in these things. But probably the near approach of the daily expected and earnestly desired hour of my discharge from all further service in this world will prevent the accomplishment of that intention. And a continual prospect of this, do I yet live and rejoice, which among other advantages unspeakable, has already given me an unconcern in those oppositions which the passions or interests of men engage them in, of a very near alliance to, and scarce distinguishable from, that which the grave will afford. I have but one thing more to acquaint the reader with, in which I shall close this preface. And it is the same with that in which the preface to the former discourse is concluded. This also belongs to the second part of my discourse concerning the dispensation and operations of the Holy Spirit. The first volume on that subject, some years since published, have found good acceptance among them that are godly and learned, both at home and abroad. I have been desired to give out what yet remains for the complete accomplishment of what I designed thereon in this way of lesser discourses, that they may have their use before the whole be finished, or whether it be so or not. Chapter 1. usurpation of the Church of Rome with reference to the interpretation of the Scriptures, a right understanding of the mind of God in them. Our belief of the Scriptures to be the Word of God, or a divine revelation, and our understanding of the mind and will of God as revealed in them, are the two springs of all our interest in the Christian religion. From them are all those streams of light and truth derived in which our souls are watered, refreshed, and made fruitful to God. It therefore concerns us greatly to look well to those springs that they be neither stopped nor defiled and so rendered useless to us. Though a man may have pleasant streams running by his habitation and watering his inheritance, yet if the springs of them be in the power of others who can either divert their course or poison their waters, on their pleasure he must always depend for the benefit of them. Thus has it fallen out in the world in this manner. So has the Church of Rome endeavored to deal with all Christians. Their main endeavor is to seize those springs of religion into their own power. The Scripture itself, they tell us, cannot be believed to be the Word of God with faith divine, but upon the proposal and testimony of their Church. By this is one spring secured. And when it is believed so to be, it ought not to be interpreted. It cannot be understood but according to the mind, judgment, and exposition of the same Church, which in like manner secures the other. And having of old possessed these springs of Christian religion, they have dealt with them according as might be expected from unjust invaders of other men's right. So when the Philistines contended for the wells which Abraham and Isaac had digged, when they had got possession of them, they stopped them up. And when the scribes and Pharisees had gotten the key of knowledge, they would neither enter into the kingdom of God themselves, nor allow those that would so to do, as our Savior tells us. For the one of these springs, which is a letter of the Scripture itself, when it ought to have gone forth like the waters of the sanctuary, to refresh the church and make it fruitful to God, they partly stopped it up and partly diverted its course, by shutting it up in an unknown tongue and debarring the people from the use of it. And the exercise of their pretended right to the other spring, or the sole interpretation of the Scripture, they have poisoned the streams with all manner of errors and delusions, so as that they became not only useless, but noxious and pernicious to the souls of men. For under the pretense hereof, namely, that their church has the sole power of interpreting the Scriptures, and cannot err therein, if they had intruded all their errors with all their abominations and worship and practice on the minds and consciences of men. The first of these springs I have in a former discourse on the subject taken out of their hand, so far as we ourselves are concerned in it, or I have vindicated the just right of all Christians to this, and given them possession of it. This I did by declaring the true grounds and reasons in which we do and whereon any can truly believe the Scripture to be the Word of God with divine faith and supernatural. For besides other advantages in which the knowledge of that truth is accompanied, it dispossesses the Romanists of their claim to this fountain of religion, by evidencing that we do and ought thus to believe the divine original of the Scripture without any regard to the testimony or authority of their church. That which now lies before us is the vindication of the right of all believers to the other spring also, or a right understanding of the mind and will of God is revealed in the Scripture, suitable to the duty that God requires of them in their several capacities and conditions. What is necessary to the interpretation of difficult places and passages in the Scripture, and what measure of understanding of the mind and will of God is revealed in it, is required of persons in their various conditions, as they are teachers of others, or among the number of them that are to be taught, shall among other things be afterwards spoken to. My principal design is to manifest that every believer may, in a due use of the means appointed of God for that end, attain to such a full assurance and understanding in the truth, or all that knowledge of the mind and will of God revealed in the Scripture, which is sufficient to direct him in the life of God, to deliver him from the dangers of ignorance, darkness, and error, and to conduct him to blessedness. Therefore, as to the belief of the Scripture itself, so as to the understanding, knowledge, and faith of the things contained in them, we do not depend on the authoritative interpretation of any church or person whatever. And although ordinary believers are obliged to make diligent and conscientious use of the ministry of the church, among other things, as a means appointed of God to lead, guide, and instruct them in the knowledge of his mind and will revealed in the Scripture, which is the principal end of that ordinance, yet is not their understanding of the truth, their apprehension of it and faith in it, to rest upon or to be resolved into their authority, who are not appointed of God to be lords of their faith, but helpers of their joy. And thereon depends all our interest in that great promise that we shall be all taught of God. For we are not so unless we do learn from him and by him the things which he has revealed in his word. And there is not any truth of greater importance for men to be established in, for unless they have a full assurance of understanding in themselves, unless they hold their persuasion of the sense of Scripture, revelations from God alone, if their spiritual judgment of truth and falsehood depend on the authority of men, they will never be able to undergo any suffering for the truth or to perform any duty to God in a right manner. The truths of the gospel and the ways of religious worship, for which any believer may be called to suffer in this world, are such as about whose sense and revelation in the Scripture there is great difference and controversy among men. And if there be not an assured, yea, infallible way and means of communicating to all believers the knowledge of the mind and will of God in the Scripture, concerning those things so controverted, the grounds of this are fixed in their own minds, but that they do wholly depend on the expositions and interpretations of other men, be they who they will, they cannot allow for them either cheerfully or honorably, so as to give glory to God, or to obtain any solid peace and comfort in their own souls. For if a man under his sufferings for his profession can give himself no other account but this, that what he suffers for is the truth of God revealed in the Scripture, because such or such whom he has in veneration or esteem do so affirm and have so instructed him, or because this is a doctrine of this or that church, the papal or the reformed church, which it is prescribed to him, he will have little joy of his suffering in the end. Yea, there is that which is yet worse in this manner, if things are stated to this day in the world, truth and error promiscuously persecuted, according to the judgment, interests, and inclinations of them that are in power, yea, sometimes both truth and error persecuted in the same place and at the same time upon errors differing from both. Dissent has grown almost all that is criminal in Christian religion all the world over. But in the state of things, unless we grant men an immediate understanding of their own in the mind and will of God, yea, a full assurance therein, there will be nothing in which a man who suffers for the most important truths of the gospel can in his own soul and conscience distinguish himself from those who suffer in giving testimony to the most pernicious errors. For all outward means of confidence which he has, they may have also. It therefore behooves all those who may possibly be called to suffer for the truth in any season, or on any occasion, to assure their minds in this fundamental truth, that they may have in themselves a certain undeceiving understanding of the mind and will of God as revealed in the Scripture, independent on the authority of any church or persons whatsoever, the use of whose ministry in this we do yet freely and fully allow. Nor indeed without a supposition of this can any man perform any duty to God in an acceptable manner, so as that his obedience may be the obedience of faith, nor can upon good grounds die in peace, since the judge shall live by his own faith alone. Therefore our present inquiry is, how believers, or any men whatever, may attain a right understanding in their own minds of the meaning and sense of the Scriptures, as of the doctrine or truths contained in them, in answer to the design of God, as to what he would have us know or believe, or how they may attain a right perception of the mind of God in the Scripture, and what he intends in the revelation of it, in opposition to ignorance, errors, mistakes, and all false apprehensions, and so in a right manner to perform the duties which by it we are instructed in. In answer to the inquiry proposed concerning the knowledge and understanding of believers in the mind of God as revealed in the Scriptures, I shall consider first the principal efficient cause, and secondly, all the means internal and external which are appointed of God unto this end. As to the first of these, or the principal efficient cause of the due knowledge and understanding of the will of God in the Scripture, it is the Holy Spirit of God Himself alone. For there is a special work of the Spirit of God on the minds of men, communicating spiritual wisdom, light, and understanding to them, necessary to their discerning and apprehending aright the mind of God and His Word, and the understanding of the mysteries of heavenly truth contained therein. And I shall add to this, that among all the false and foolish imaginations that ever the Christian religion was attacked or disturbed with, there never was any. There is none more pernicious than this, that the mysteries of the gospel are so exposed to the common reason and understanding of men, as that they may know them and comprehend them in a useful manner, and according to their duty without the effectual aid and assistance of the Spirit of God. It is the fondest thing in the world to imagine that the Holy Ghost does any way teach us but in and by our own reasons and understandings. We renounce all enthusiasms in this manner, and plead not for any immediate prophetical inspirations. Those who would prohibit us the use of our reason in the things of religion would deal with us as the Philistines did with Samson. First, put out our eyes and then make us grind in their mill. Whatever we know, be it of what sort it will, we know it in and by the use of our reason, and what we conceive, we do it by our own understanding. Only inquiry is whether there be not a special work of the Holy Spirit of God, enlightening our minds and enabling our understandings to perceive and apprehend His mind and will, as revealed in the Scripture, and without which we cannot so do. The substance, therefore, of the ensuing discourse may be reduced to these heads. 1. That we stand not in need of any new divine afflictions or immediate prophetical inspirations to enable us to understand the Scripture, or the mind and will of God is revealed therein. Neither did the prophets or holy penmen of the Scripture learn the mind of God and the revelations made to them, and by them to the church merely from the divine inspiration of them. Those immediate inspirations unto them were in the stead and place of the written word, and no otherwise. After they did receive them, they were by the same means to inquire into the mind and will of God in them, as we do it in and by the written word, 1 Peter 1:10-11. Secondly, that is to the right understanding of the mind of God in the Scripture, or our coming to the riches of the full assurance of understanding in the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, we do not, nor need to, depend on the authoritative instruction or interpretation of the Scripture by any church whatever, or all of them in the world, though there be great use of the true ministry of the church to that end. Thirdly, that in the mere exercise of our own natural reason and understanding, with the help of external means, we cannot attain that knowledge of the mind and will of God in the Scripture, of the sense and meaning of the Holy Ghost in it, which is required of us in a way of duty, without the special aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, principally, it is asserted, fourthly, that there is a special work of the Holy Spirit and a supernatural illumination of our minds needful to the end proposed, namely, that we may aright and according to our duty understand the mind of God in the Scripture ourselves or interpret it to others. 5. That by this alone is that full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of the mystery of God, His truth and grace to be obtained, in which any man may answer the mind and will of God or comply with his own duty in all that he may be called to do or suffer in this world, in his special circumstances. Therefore, sixthly, the certainty and assurance that we may have and ought to have of our right understanding the mind of God in the Scripture, either in general or as to any special doctrine, does not depend upon, is not resolved into, any immediate inspiration or enthusiasm. It does not depend upon or is resolved into the authority of any church in the world, nor is it the result of our own reason and understanding merely in their natural actings, but as they are elevated, enlightened, guided, conducted by an internal efficacious work of the Spirit of God upon them. 7. That whereas the means of the right interpretation of the Scripture and understanding of the mind of God in them are of two sorts, first, such as are prescribed to us in a way of duty as prayer, meditation on the Word itself, and the like, and secondly, disciplinary in the accommodation of arts and sciences with all kind of learning to that work. The first sort of them does entirely depend on a supposition of the spiritual aids mentioned, without which they are of no use, and the latter is not only consistent with this, but singularly subservient to it. Therefore, the nature and use of all these means shall be afterward declared. This being the substance of what is designed in the ensuing discourse, it is evident that the positions before laid down concerning the special work of the Spirit on the minds of men, and communicating spiritual wisdom, light, and knowledge to them, is in the first place and principally to be confirmed as that in which all the other assertions do absolutely depend. It is the Scripture alone from whence the truth in this manner can be learned, and by which alone what is proposed concerning it must be tried. Therefore, as to this first part of this work, I shall do little more than plead the express testimonies of it. When we come to consider the way and manner of the communication of these spiritual aids to us, the whole matter will be more fully stated, and such objections as may be laid against our assertion removed out of the way. And there are two ends designed in this undertaking. First, that which the evangelist Luke proposed in his writing the gospel to Theophilus, namely, that he might know the certainty of the things in which he had been instructed. Luke 1 verse 4. When we have been instructed in the truth of the gospel, and to give our assent to it, yet it is needful that we should examine the grounds and reasons of what we do believe thereon, that we may have a certainty or full assurance of them. This, therefore, we shall direct, namely, how a man may come to an undeceiving persuasion and full assurance that the things in which he has been instructed, and which he knows are true and according to the mind of God, so as that he may thereon be no more tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness in which they lie in wait to deceive. Secondly, we design to inquire what conduct to descend a man that takes care of his salvation, and who is convinced that he must give an account of himself to God, ought in this manner, as to the right understanding of the mind and will of God in the Scripture, to betake himself to. And as I shall show that there is no safety in depending on enthusiasms or immediate pretended infallible inspirations, nor on the pretended infallibility of any church, so the Holy Spirit of God, enlightening our minds in the exercise of our own reason or understanding, and in the use of the means appointed of God to that end, is the only safe guide to bring us to the full assurance of the mind and will of God as revealed in the Scripture. Therefore, the whole foundation of this work lies in these two things. 1. That there is such a special work of the Holy Spirit on our minds, enabling them to understand the Scriptures in a right manner, or to know the mind of God in them. And secondly, in showing what is the special nature of this work, what are the effects of it upon our minds, and how it differs from all enthusiastical inspirations, and what is the true exercise of our minds in compliance therewith. And these things we shall first inquire into.